I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, we're the last show of 2024, and we're going to go out with a bang, Bob, or maybe with a little bit of smoke. No bang going on, right? But anyway, who we got on the live line right now?
Yes, sir. It's Mr. T. Gidd, who's one of our board of directors. How are you, brother?
Good morning and Merry Christmas, gentlemen.
Yes, thank you. And it was. We're doing a focus on ribs today just because it's been a while and I kind of got the craving for them. And I thought, I wonder how T. Gidd does his ribs.
Well, it's not terribly unlike what you guys probably do up north. We normally just generally slather them down with a little bit of yellow mustard, throw a little extra Cajun seasoning on both sides, and we light the pit, and we indirectly smoke it, cook it, bake it. You know, you can do it low temperature. You can do it barbecue temperature at 350, but definitely indirect, and do that for about 3 hours. Some people, if they're in a rush, they'll wrap them in foil. I think that's unnecessary. You just got to plan ahead, let the wood do the work, and when it gets to fork tender, you just pull them off. And the barbecue sauce is kind of, I guess, what Cajunizes the flavor of the ribs. And down here we have a local sauce called Jack Miller's Pig Stand. Is very similar. It's another brand, and it's more of a mustard based sauce. It's not a red sauce, and it has a lot of chopped up onions in there, so it's just different. I don't know how to even describe it, but it's my wife's favorite. If I'm doing ribs and there's no Jack Miller's on it, she's eating pasta something well, else.
Yeah, does it got some heat to it or not so much?
You know, again, common misconception about Cajun food is that it's so hot you need a handkerchief to wipe your forehead.
He walked right into that. You know?
Yeah, you know, and that's not the case. I mean, it has a little bit of a subtle heat. I mean, I've eaten some of that barbecue in Texas, and it's a lot spicier than my stuff is. But that, you know, I guess it's everybody has their own preference.
Well,
you know,
and that's funny because when I sampled. I did a public tasting at Sobey Meats with your Cajun spice, extra Cajun. And, you know, there's a lot of chickens in Michigan, and they just didn't want to try it. It's like, oh, no, not Cajun. They're in a Polish market, you know, so they'll eat the heck out of sauerkraut.
Yeah, anything that's just swimming in garlic, they're all over
yeah.
it.
Yeah, but oh, well, goodness.
Yeah, and garlic's got a little pepper to it, you
Indeed.
Know.
Indeed.
And that's why we came out with it, Bob and Job. I mean, you know, I travel the country and do cooking demonstrations, and it never fail. I'd have a customer come up to our booth and say, "What are you cooking?" I say, "Crawfish etouffee." "Oh, that's Cajun." I'm like, "Yeah." I said, "You want to try some?" And they're like, "I can't eat Cajun food." And I'm like, "Well, what, are you allergic to shellfish or something?" And they're like, "No, it's too spicy." And I'm like, "I don't know what you've been eating, but that ain't Cajun. They might have called it Cajun." But it's just sad because there's a huge misconception about
yeah.
Cajun food
yeah.
needing to be overly spicy, and it's just simply it's the flavor. It's the flavor that makes Cajun food Cajun.
Well, and people that haven't been to New Orleans or southern Louisiana, they don't understand that there's a huge, huge French history there.
Oh
and,
yeah,
and,
I mean,
and
in New Orleans, it's a melting pot. I mean, you have some Italians, you got French, you got Creole, you got African American, and all points in between. But when you come a little further west down I-10, you go through Baton Rouge, and that's a whole other southern part of Louisiana that you know you have an eclectic type of demographic. And then you get more westerly in off I-10. You get to Lafayette and Rain, and you know all them Bridge, Henderson. That's what I would call the heart of Cajun culture. I mean that's where we landed, so to speak, and then it filtered out from there.
So you were talking about this sauce you love being yellow. So it's more like the South Carolina German ancestry type.
I don't know where it came from, to be totally honest with you, but it Jack Miller's been a staple in my family. My dad loved it. He cooked with everything, chicken, ribs, even brisket. He'd put it on there.
Well, I know,
and my wife loves it.
I know you've had the South Carolina sauces that are yellow.
Oh, yeah.
Is it like that?
It's a little bit like that, but it's still got a lot more chunky onions in there.
Okay.
You know? But, you know, one of our good friends, Rob Russell, God rest his soul.
Right.
He introduced me to Kansas City sticky ribs. And when he did that, that's my personal favorite.
Is it?
You know, the honey and barbecue sauce.
And butter.
Stop it.
Yeah.
And butter. Yeah, just stop. Yeah. All the three major food groups. You know what I'm saying?
And you talked about wrapping, and that's, of course, he and I used to travel around doing rib classes and teaching people that process. We would wrap in foil until I noticed that the foil was actually, when it contacted the rib, it was starting to dissolve. So I switched over to pink butcher paper for a wrap on anything. I never use foil. After watching that and then reading all these stories about aluminum sickness and all this stuff,
yeah,
Reynolds metals. It's just not a good product.
Pots, yeah.
Not a good product. It took me quite a bit of heckling to get Jop to quit talking about cooking in aluminum bags.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people do still.
Well, Reynolds Wrap dropped you as a sponsor, right?
Yeah,
right,
never thought of us.
Right. But the butcher paper is tough to get it tight to hold in the moisture. I mean, you gotta put a couple layers on and fold it tight.
That's all. You just have to get the big enough piece, and then you have to start rolling it. And of course, if you're putting any moisture in there at all, and I always put something in there, you got to roll it up, button the ends up, and then set it in carefully, or just put it in the oven.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, because when you're wrapping stuff, you're not getting smoke on it.
Right.
Yeah, I tell you, like I said. I did that Kansas City sticky ribs for one of our show guests. He was a Miami Dolphins, played for the team that he was a defensive safety, played for the team that went undefeated that year. And he had never had Kansas City sticky ribs, but he was a fan of ribs, period. And when he put that in his mouth, I swear to you, I could win $1 million.
You can see the light bulb going off.
Yeah. Oh my God!
So let's basically
he got to his knuckles and he had to stop eating. You know what I'm saying?
So real quickly, Kansas City sticky ribs. Since T Gid's teasing it so much, is you got your ribs, you put them. You can unwrap them once you get your half inch of bone sticking out. Put them over direct heat, indirect, whatever you want to do. Give them some heat. Melt some butter on it. Slather some barbecue sauce on it, and then squirt it with honey, and then just let it coast. Shut your heat off and give it 15 minutes. And man, yeah, they're good. The honey does it. Well, the butter does it too.
Yeah, might even be the sauce. You never know,
bro.
Yeah.
Well, T. Gid, I can't wait to taste your sauce. When's that going to be out?
Well, you know, something we're working on. We came out with the hot sauce, Gator Mojo, so that's out now.
Okay.
We haven't come out with our barbecue sauce just yet, but I need to get you some up there and let the people up in Michigan love up on that.
All right, brother. All right, we're out of time. I got the hook. See? Love you.
Right.
Take care.
All right, happy New Year, T. Gid. Good to hear your voice.
Okay. See ya.
All right. Coming up next, we're going to continue down this riblet and rib trail. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Easy for you to say.